Hello and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers Podcast. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right, so what we wanted to talk about, you know, we're getting excited. M21 is officially out. We're not quite ready to, look at the meta, what's changed yet. I think that we're just starting to get some data on that. So hopefully in the next week or two, you know, we'll do a competitive episode. We'll look at how it's affecting the format, where we're going from here. And we are looking at it a little bit this episode, but what we wanted to talk about is, let me think how I want to preface this. So one thing that I've kind of been hearing people saying is like, oh man, Inverter's so bad right now, it's even worse than Saheeli. Like, I can't believe they would ban Saheeli and not ban Inverter. Mm-hmm. And, that kind of got us kicked into the idea of, like, you know, there's a decent ban list going on. People love to think about, like, hey, what if any of those cards were able to come off the ban list one day? Like, are those okay in the format right now? Or were they just bad at the time they got banned? So we've kind of thrown together an episode. You know, we wanted to look at, hey, what are the cards that are currently banned? Could any of them potentially see play again and be fair, not, you know, warp the format around them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about, like, oh, they probably could unban this, but they won't because reason.
And I think before we've talked about bannings, what should be banned a little bit, but we haven't really talked about unbannings at all recently, so I think this is a good topic. And this is something maybe we could discuss every time a new set comes out. Like, basically, you know, has this set made it so that we can play these cards again?
Yeah, and maybe not every time, but it's definitely worth looking at. And I think that with a format like Pioneer, where there's, you know, such a small range of cards that are legal, it makes it a little bit more viable mm-hmm. than something like Modern to look at unbans more quickly.
Yeah.
You know, getting unbans in Modern was not a thing for a long time, and I think that they've been more willing to do that. I wonder if WotC would be willing to look at, you know, some of the cards that were banned in Pioneer, especially ones that were banned very quickly, maybe, mm-hmm. and see, like, maybe that's not a problem. Maybe it is okay.
So, let's take a look at the ban list first, then. And we can just go through the entire thing. There's not a lot, actually. I thought there was more.
There's 10 cards, basically.
Should we talk about fetch lands?
Yeah, so I was going to basically dismiss Fetchlands right away, because that's kind of the 10th card, is that this is a format built to not have Fetchlands in it. It wouldn't help. Like, there's a lot of cool things it would do, but that would be a very different format to look at Pioneer with Fetchlands. But that's 100% not coming off the ban list. This format's not designed to be playing those. It's not balanced around it whatsoever.
Well, let's say we get all the pain lands back, we get all the fast lands back, and we let the format kind of, you know, develop without Fetchlands. And at the very end, They bring Fetchlands back. Would that be okay, or is that still, you think, just not a good idea?
I mean, that would be Modern. I would play Modern at that point, I think. So, you know,
always banned then. Okay, no chance.
Yeah, there's still a huge number of cards that it would just overwhelmingly affect, like any of the Delve cards, yeah. any Fatal Push card, quite a number of things that care about having things in the graveyard yeah. and losing cards in play, losing life. Like, there's so much that it does.
Yeah, true. Okay. All right, so what's the first card you want to talk about, and do you think it should be unbanned, or should it stay banned?
Do you want to jump back to, you know, the first round of bannings? And, you know, we'll provide a little bit of history here, so anyone mm-hmm. who's like, hey, I see that card on the ban list, I wasn't playing Pioneer at that time, why is that a banned card?
Yeah.
And for me, the one that comes right to mind there is Leyline of Abundance. This is the ley line for 2/2 green, so if it's in your opening hand, you can start with it in play. It makes it that when you tap a creature for mana, you add an additional green mana, and you can pay, I think it's 6 mana, like 4/2 green, yeah. to put a +1/+1 counter on all of your creatures.
I think it's 6 or 8.
Might be 8 mana. Yeah.
So this was from the first round of bannings. I don't even remember. I thought that was like the second round of bannings. But
nope, this was in the very first round of bannings.
Okay, so...
And completely justified.
Will this...
So for anyone who's you know, mouth open, like, what is it? That doesn't sound broken. It just sounds okay. Really, the thing that broke with it is all of the fast mana that it provided. So you could, you know, if you've got one or two of these, you could end up with a turn two Nissa, mm-hmm. and that's just insane. Or you could do more than
Which Nissa were we talking about?
The 5-mana Nissa.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, so you can, you know, untap your... And then really the other big thing that it was overpowered with was Nykthos, is that it's two more loyalty for Nykthos mm-hmm. in play right away in a deck that's already running a lot of things that are going to help that card. So you know, it just... It was fast mana, essentially.
They're playing turn four Ulamogs. Sometimes
turn
three.
Oh, they were playing turn, like... Three Ulamogs. Yeah. It was very insane. You know, I think there was a.
And it wasn't even main deck Ulamogs.
Well, that's slightly different. I don't think they were playing that Vivian right away. Okay. But, you know, I think it was an SCG versus live clip that they played a. It was like a turn three. It was like an 18-18 Hydroid Crisis.
What? Yeah,
yeah, like, you really do insane things when you have that card available in a deck that already had quite a bit of power to it. So. That's the other side to look at, is that, you know, that deck has certainly lost a lot. You know, it had Oath, Once Upon a Time at the time. It had maybe Oath of Nyssa at mm-hmm. the time. I don't know if they played both. They also, you know, they had Veil of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all things we're going to be talking about. So, especially with these green cards, you kind of have to say, does that deck still stand up as being overpowered?
I would say so. I think ramp is always a problem.
Yeah, it's probably less consistent without something like Once Upon a Time or Oath, but I do think that, you know, that deck certainly exists. You know, we still see green ramp decks that are playing 8 to 10 to 12 dorks,
mm-hmm.
and that this would just really power them out with Nykthos.
So, was that wasn't the only one that got banned right away. I thought there was like two or three cards that got banned with
There were three in that first initial round. So the other two were Oath of Nyssa and Seheli Rai, but Felidar Guardian, if you want to talk about either of those.
Okay, so those were actually... I thought it was Once Upon a Time, but maybe that was afterwards. So, yeah, Oath...
Yeah, that was a later round.
Oath was a big problem because people could play five-color... like, five-color Planeswalkers. They were playing Seheli, they were playing... Oko, and they were playing pretty much any other powerful, you know, 3 to 4 mana, 3 to 4 mana planeswalker that they could get their hands on, and it was just impossible to get rid of that much value.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a card being played in a number of decks. So it was being played in the Saheeli deck, but the Saheeli deck took a big loss because it lost Felidar Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
It was being played in the Leyline of Abundance deck, mm-hmm. which took a big loss because it lost Leyline of Abundance. But yes, it was also seeing a little bit of play in kind of general Planeswalker tribal decks, and I think that's where the card, you know, that was the mortal sin that it committed, is, you know, it wasn't in those other decks where it was unfair. It was really just in the fact that it made mana a lot better for those kind of decks than what WotC wanted in the format. Mm-hmm. You know, they really didn't want this to be a format where four colors at any reasonable speed was viable,
yeah.
And I think that taking out Oath was one of the few things standing in the way from that being their dream.
Yeah, because it would grab you a land or planeswalker, right? Or a creature?
It's land, creature, or planeswalker. Yeah, so it can't grab itself, it can't grab enchantments, but...
Still busted, though, I think.
Still pretty busto, absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, if this card, if they wanted to test, like, hey, it comes off the ban list tomorrow, where would we... it see play, because we don't have a Saheeli Rai, we don't have Oko,
mm-hmm.
we don't have quite the same kind of deck for green ramp, but I do think green ramp's probably the first place I would look at. Is, you know, we do have a mono green planeswalkers deck. It's been a little bit fringe. I think it was a lot better in what was the one before.
You mean Theros? The format?
Yeah, it was really good. You know, that deck was really good towards the end of Icoria. So okay. End of Theros, pre-Icoria. Icoria came out, Companions kind of took over, and then after Companions got nerfed, the format kind of reverted, but that deck didn't see quite as much play after that. But so that's really what's left of that green deck. You know, it plays the Nyssa that finds creatures from the sideboard. It plays Karn, which finds the artifacts from the sideboard. So it basically plays a 75-card main deck.
I mean, this could also maybe be good, like, in a Bant deck, like a Bant, you know, with Teferi and, I don't know, Tamiyo or whatever like that. I mean, some kind of control deck would hate to have this card.
Yes, so that's another place that I would definitely look at it as kind of a fair application, especially alongside Planeswalkers. And then what's also good with Planeswalkers and with Oath is our Flying Bird Serpent. Not Ojutai, what's his name?
Hydrate? No.
No, no, no. The companion.
Yorion.
I'm just having a mind blank today. Yorion. There we Yorion, go. Yeah. What was wrong with me? Yeah. So Yorion with Oath of Nyssa seems like a really good combination.
Oh, yeah.
You know, any of those Bant or even Sultai. You know, Sultai could run this, be able to play some Planeswalkers, and then blink both of them with Yorion, and that seems really good.
Really good value there.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I might get greedier. Like, I could see trying like a four color Planeswalkers deck if Oath was legal again, especially with both Oath and the Interplanar Portal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to have something. I mean, a lot of the newer stuff, I kind of feel like has they're more. How can I say, their abilities are more unique than before. They weren't just overwhelmed. They weren't overall powerful. You know what I mean? Like Oko, like, can just stand by himself. You know, he makes a counter, sorry, a token, he makes a 3/3 the next turn if he wants to. Whereas, like, now you have, like, Bossri, he's a 3-mana card, but it's like, he really needs to have other cards, like, other synergistic cards in order to be good.
Yeah. So. Okay, so here's something we should really be doing is, you know, when Mauro looks at whether or not a mechanic could get reprinted, he's got the Storm Scale, he's got the Rabaya Scale for whether or not we'll visit a plane again.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go with the Fetchland Scale? So a Fetchland is a 10, never ever coming off the ban list.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you put our first two on there? Where do you put Leyline? Where do you put Oath?
So 10 is never coming off. I think Leyline...
Yeah, 10 is never coming off. 1 is probably coming off in the next set. you know, and scaling in between there.
I would put Leyline at like an 8 and Oath maybe at like a 6.
I think both of those seem fairly reasonable.
So you wouldn't change the score?
Yeah, I think you know, I think Leyline, it would take a very special format for it to be able to come off that list. Mm-hmm. I think that part of that might be we would need to see Nykthos go,
mm-hmm.
which I'd prefer it doesn't, but if something else managed to break Nykthos, I could see that making Leyline more okay.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Oath, I do think there's places where it might be broken. Maybe one day we could try it again.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it could also just get more and more powerful as other things come out. So.
And that's the thing, is like, you know, we're still trying to find the balance in the formats. Things are, I would say, like the older formats, such as Legacy and Modern, you don't really have a large impact from newer sets. I mean, of course, recently with like stuff like, you know, Once Upon a Time, you know, things just got super busted. But I kind of feel like they're a little bit more settled. And maybe once that happens and we have a more settled metagame in Pioneer, maybe that's when we'll see a card like Oath of Nyssa again.
Yeah, you shouldn't really be seeing that same level of a change each set. So yeah. I agree with you there. I also just want to make one last call out, is that Oath also saw play in the Kethys combo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big proponent of that deck. And that would be, I would say that would probably make it a mainstream combo deck again if it were in the format.
Like a tier 2 or tier 1?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Nice.
I don't think that it's, I think it's plenty viable right now, and that card really adds a lot of power. So
the other card that you said from this first banning group was Felidar Guardian, so.
Yes, absolutely. So,
how do you feel?
You know, I've talked a little bit about Felidar Guardian, and that is a big part of what I wanted to talk about this episode, is that, you know, people are like, oh man, Felidar Guardian and Saheeli was a 2-card combo. That's way easier to break up than Inverter is. But no, I think Felidar is probably like a 9 right now. Like, I think it's right now worse than Leyline is. It's just a very, very scary combo. So this is actually, you know, what I was trying to play around for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I went and I was like, okay, what could I build right now with Saheeli? And I was like, well, we've got a Jeskai deck in the format,
mm-hmm.
that would love to have a combo win in it. So I took kind of the Jeskai Fires deck with Luka and Agent of Treachery,
mm-hmm.
and with Yorion as a companion. And oh my god. I was testing with this, and it is like the dirtiest thing I've ever played. There's been a lot of really good cards for the Felidar Guardian deck. So I think that when it got banned, it was more of a turbo. You know, they were playing green 4-colors because they wanted Oko. They wanted Oath of Nyssa. They wanted Veil of Summer. They wanted... So they were able to play, you know, Goose, be kind of turbo,
mm-hmm.
maybe even turn, 3 win.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would go more towards the controlling side, where you're going to just, you know, play this as a combo win plan in your larger deck. But what you can do is that The deck's just insane. One of the things really holding back Felidar at the very beginning was that there weren't great things to bounce in Jeskai colors. Mm. You know, when he comes into play, he flickers something. You really need good targets for that. At the time, there weren't really. But now we've got the, what are they called? Oh, gosh. You know, I'm backwards today. I'm talking like a ton, but my brain's going slower than any for.
Yes.
It's been a long week. the
you want me to talk while you're thinking?
That are flash, the flash oh. enchantments. Flash you know, I've got a deck list. Why don't I just look at that?
what are the flash enchantments? The
omens.
New ones.
So okay. Omen of the Sea, yeah. You know, scry two, draw a card. Blinking that with Felidar is huge. You know, even the white ones playable. Birth of Miletus is awesome to blink with Felidar.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're like a Deafening Clarion kind of deck.
See, now...
So, those are really good to blink. Agent of Treachery is really good to blink. Luka is gross to blink. And all of that gets even crazier with Yorion. So Yorion Felidar is actually a combo that people have tried around with in Modern because... You know, you blink the Felidar with Yorion, it comes back at the end of the turn, it blinks Yorion again, the Felidar is gone till the end of the next end step, in which case it blinks Yorion again, and you can just, you know, keep blinking stuff.
What? So that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, you know, Felidar Guardian, we should unban it and just ban Saheeli instead, but hearing the combos between, you know, Yorion and Felidar, that just sounds busted.
So yeah, I could see Felidar coming off if... Saheeli was banned, and it might still be... It would definitely be playable. It might be not be amazing, but it would definitely be playable. That's probably the only way I see it coming off the ban list. Maybe if we were to ban 3-mana Teferi, mm-hmm. I could see testing out Felidar being unbanned, but even then, I think that it's just a little bit too insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's one of those cards, like you said 8 or 9, but I would say 4 if Saheeli is banned.
Oof. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. If Saheeli was banned, sure.
Yeah.
But, that's extenuating circumstances. Yeah. I consider that to be like a 9. And I do think, you know, I will say it, Saheeli combo way harder to interact with than the inverter combo.
Yeah. So what's what was in the next round of bannings? Do you remember?
All right. So I'm trying to remember if it was all at once, but I know that Once Upon a Time and I believe...
Okay.
I believe Once Upon a Time and Veil came out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So Once Upon a Time, that was the 2-mana instant. Top 5 cards finds a creature or land, but if it's the first spell you've cast in the game, you can cast it for free. And then, so what's the Cryptic Command test for...
the which one? You said the Cryptic Command for the Veil of Summer?
Yeah. Veil of Summer, yeah, it's Cryptic Command. You counter a spell and draw a card.
So yeah, your stuff's uncounterable. You can't be targeted. So you have hexproof. You draw a card if they cast a blue or black.
So you draw a card if they've cast a blue or black spell this turn, and it makes it so your spells can't be countered, and it makes it so that you and your permanents can't. They've got hexproof from blue and black. Yeah, can't be targeted by blue or black.
It's insane.
It's pretty insane. You know, most of the time it's going to stop a card. You know, something like. Yeah, something that they're spending mana on, it stops the card and you draw a card. So effectively Cryptic Command, you know, you're countering a spell and drawing a card for 1 green mana.
Yeah.
It was getting main decked. It was pretty insane. Now the thing is, you know, looking at this card, just you know, as a hypothetical, like what green combo decks are in the format right now?
I don't know if there's actually green combo decks, but there's like decks that just get out of control really quickly. Still, you know, something like the red-green, you know, stompy decks or something.
Yeah. That's what I was just saying green combo decks because I think that combo is where it was the most unfair. That's where it was really main deckable because it stops counters and discard, which were kind of the two biggest ways to hate that. So I could almost see main decking maybe one of them in the Lotus Breach combo deck. And you know, have the rest in the sideboard to just stomp on the blue-black matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, though, I think every green deck would play it. I think more decks would be looking at green. You know, it would force things like Inverter Combo, if it's still around, to go into Sultai. Like, I do think it would just be... This card is not coming back. I think this is easily another 9. It's just too powerful of a card.
Yeah, the cost performance is just too good. You know, you get too much value from it.
Yeah, raw power, I think.
It would probably also...
It doesn't really matter...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what the format looks like. The raw power of this card is going to be too high for Pioneer.
I was also going to say, like, even a deck like Scales probably benefited a lot from having this in the format, not being able to target your stuff. So
yeah, any kind of green aggro.
So you said Veil of Summer and Once Upon a Time are around the same?
Yeah, Once Upon a Time is kind of the other one. And, you know, I almost want to say that's another raw power card where it's just so strong that it would be really hard to reprint it.
So it's 2-mana sorcery, right?
Instant.
It's an instant. Okay.
Yeah, wow. It's an instant. 2-mana instant.
But, like, basically, if it's in your opening hand, you can reveal it and then exile it, I believe, and then you can look at the top three and get a land card or a creature card? Was that how it worked?
Nope, so it's literally just if it's the first spell you've cast in the game, you cast it for free. Mm-hmm. So even if you draw it on turn two and you haven't cast anything yet, you can still cast it for free.
Okay. But then...
And it's the full 5 cards, full creature or
five cards?
Land. Yep, 5 cards.
I thought it was 3 cards. Jeez. Never played with that.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. So the reason it got banned, it was seeing way too much play in way too many decks. You know, it was seeing all of the green aggro decks. Mm-hmm. It really made green-red aggro a huge deck at the time. It made any of the green planeswalkers decks. And I think what was most powerful about it is the fact that, you know, currently we're an 8-dork format, basically. You know, sometimes you see the goose, but for the most part, it's, you know, Land of War Elves and Elvish Mystic. Mm-hmm. And when you've got Elvish Mystic, Land of War Elves, and Once Upon a Time in your deck, you're getting to up to like 90% chance that you have
you're gonna turn wrap.
One
yeah.
dork.
Yeah.
So it's just the insane consistency of always having that, and then it just finds your payoff card. You know, if you don't have enough lands, it finds that. If you don't have the, you know, the turn two play of the 3-drop, it'll find that. If it's later in the game, it can find whatever your big payoff is. So, you know, if your deck is trying to go turn one Elvish Mystic or Land of War Elf into turn two Rabble Master or Legion Warboss, mm-hmm. the consistency of that's going to be getting up to, like, you know, 80-90% of games, and that's insane.
Can you imagine having Once Upon a Time in, like, Naya Winota?
That's exactly where I did test that out, and I think that, yeah, 100%, that is not an okay deck. Truly insane.
So, yeah, that pretty much took over for Oath of Nyss after that was banned, and then that quickly got the ban as well. We had a couple more cards, right? I think Oka was also banned around that time.
Yeah, it was about that time. I don't remember if it was at the same time or a little later or after. Where would you put that on your Fetchland scale, though?
For the Oko or for the Once Upon a Time?
Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I'd probably put it like at a 6 or 7. It could be okay, but like the other colors would need some kind of other advantage to even it out.
Yeah, I'm around probably 8 on that. I think that it's a tiny step down from the power level of Veil of Summer or Felidar, but it's pretty insane. It would be very format warping to be back.
Yeah. Not anytime soon, but maybe in the future once we have a really full format.
So those were kind of the two that I want to call out as kind of power level bans.
Mm-hmm.
The next two I almost see as more like annoyance bans. Like, they were very strong cards, but maybe the next three even are like, you know, part of what got them banned is more of what makes them annoying and not just strong.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be Oko.
Mm-hmm.
It was Nexus of Fate.
Mm-hmm.
And Field of the Dead.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Oko? Because that's like part of our picture on the, the First Pioneer's website.
Yeah, happy to talk about Oko. So, I think we might have even skipped over, as far as, we're not going perfectly chronologically because I think Copter was before these, but.
We can talk about that last.
Hey, sure, yeah. Oko. You know, Oko's a tough one for me, really, if I'm trying to, you know, kind of put it on my scale about where it would be broken right now. You know, we've got Sultai decks. They're not amazing, but they're good. I think that we would certainly find plenty of homes for it, but there's not an obvious, like, oh, this deck is or isn't a deck because of Oko. He was more just strong in the decks that you'd want to play him in anyways.
He's,
you know, answering a lot of hate cards and just being good.
He was 3-mana, and he started at 3 loyalty, right? And then, like, his +2...
He started at 5 loyalty. He
started at 5? Well, because +2 was, like...
Oh, hang on. He started at 4 loyalty. That's
okay.
Right. He plused to 6.
+2, right?
As a +2 to get to 6, yes.
That's insane. He's just so hard to kill. Like, even if that was just a 0 or, like, even, like, a +1, he would have been okay, maybe, but, yeah.
Yeah, there are certainly ways he could have been designed that he might have been fair, but yeah, so plus two, so he's three mana, plus twos to make a food token, plus ones, which is insane, to make any artifact or creature lose all abilities and become a 3/3 elk creature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for five, he can switch control of a artifact or creature you control with a creature your opponent controls that's power three or less.
Totally forgot about the elk thing, so it's like, you got an Ulamog, you got an Emrakul, elk.
Sure, or even, you know, you've got a Damping Sphere. I could throw this in my Lotus Breach deck and then take out their Damping Spheres
yeah,
with it.
Yeah. So it just makes a lot of, like, unfun. You need to have double removal for everything because he has to be dealt with or you're just kind of screwed.
Yeah, so makes it harder to deal with him because, you know, he's making basically a 3/3 hasty creature every other turn.
Mm-hmm. And he can gain life at any time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gains you life. You know, just that huge pile of loyalty. A lot of things were really, really powerful about this card. And just, you know, was already in good colors, green and blue being strong at the beginning of the format.
I remember him kind of like pushing out like red decks altogether just because of his ability.
Yeah, you know, especially if you've got green with him and with Uro right now, I think that would be very dangerous.
If you don't mind me talking about Nexus of Fate next.
Where would you put him? If you know, he's a hard Oko? One to rate, I think. Yeah.
I mean,
what would it take to unban Oko?
I mean, that's what I was going to talk about next, but, you know, in our next topic, our next part. But I think we just need better removal, early removal for planeswalkers and creatures.
So does Eliminate do that?
That's what I was going to talk about, actually. I thought Eliminate actually does a good job, but I think there needs to be other options for other colors to also deal with that type of card. So if it's just okay. In black, it's okay for black, but what about, you know, white and, you know, blue or, you know, green or red? What do they have?
Yeah, I mean, red got Fry, but, you know, Fry doesn't even kill it if it's
yeah,
plus.
Yeah, exactly. So we need more anti-planeswalker cards. That's what I would say.
Okay.
But, yeah, so Oko, as far as reprint scale, or not reprint scale, the unbanned scale, what did you say? What was your number?
That's what I was thinking. I think, you know, seven probably.
Yeah.
I think that there's a world where I would be willing to try him out. He's very powerful, but, you know, he could potentially be okay in a real format.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on how fast or how aggressive or how combo heavy the format is. I do think that right now the format would probably still be too good with him in it, but that I'd be willing to try. It's certainly not as cut and dry as something that's like on a pure power level scale like Felidar or the Veil.
Didn't he get banned from like Legacy and
yes,
and Modern as well? So I don't know. Once those formats are fixed and they can play Oko again, maybe then he'll be playable in Pioneer. But if it's too bad, too strong for Legacy and Modern, then yeah, I would say around 8. Not likely.
Yeah, not likely. I wouldn't count on it. Hopefully we're answering enough of like why this deck was too powerful, though, like why the card got banned.
Yeah.
I feel like we're doing a good job touching on that.
Yeah, let me talk about Nexus of Fate real quick, because I'm currently playing Historic. You know about, you know, that. I talk about it all the time on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And if anybody doesn't remember how bad Nexus of Fate was in Pioneer when it was legal, please turn on Historic and play against, you know, Nexus of Fate decks, you know, 4 or 5 games in a row, and watch them take 20-minute turns.
Well, so that's what I really like about having you here, is that both Nexus and Field of the Dead are currently legal in Historic.
Yeah.
So what's keeping them off of being too good, or what's keeping them on the ban list for Pioneer?
What's keeping them on the ban list? Well, Nexus of Fate, number one, like I said, do you want to watch somebody play by themselves for 20 minutes?
In all fairness, I do think that the Nexus of Fate Pioneer deck won the game a lot faster than it does in Standard or Historic. You know, once you've kind of got a quote-unquote lock, you can just win with something like Gaia Reach Sanitarium, and you don't have to play through, like, ridiculously long turns. You're not doing something like putting a Teferi on top every turn like Standard would do.
I don't know, man. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of people. I guess maybe there's some more options, but I've never played against a fast Nexus player. Never. But it's just unfun. It's unfun. It's really difficult to interact with. You can't even get rid of the card. You can't duress it. It just gets shuffled right back into their deck. And that's if they don't have a Tamiyo, even. I mean, because if they have a Tamiyo, you can't even target them to make them discard anything or sacrifice anything. So
looking at the format, what's changed since the deck got banned, though? Do you think there's any other hate cards that weren't around then? Do you think that there's anything else that would, you know, help us hate out the deck? Or just, you know, are there more aggressive decks now that would make it harder to try and play Nexus?
Well, one thing is ramp's gotten so much better and putting so much faster. I mean, you get so many more lands. You're able to play this so much more quickly now. You know, you get your Growth Spiral, you get your Arboreal Grazer, and then, you know, after that, you know, you play your Reclamation, and then you just keep on making tons and tons and tons and tons of mana. That's like turn three. You pretty much...
Yeah, sure. I mean, we had all of those when Nexus got banned. I'm just wondering if anything's changed. I mean, I think the biggest one is maybe Uro, but I don't feel like Uro really fits the deck. You'd kind of be casting it for just its front side, theoretically.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get the... I mean, it's another win condition as well. I mean, that's something...
Okay.
Once you lock the game and you're taking seven turns in a row and you just swing six... Six, six, six.
So does the historic version play Uro?
Yeah, definitely. Because it ramps, and you want the ramp. And you have all these extra, you know, cards that you're just dumping into the graveyard to draw more cards or to, you know, put lands into play, so it's easy to just get them back and then get another land for more ramp, and then you have, like, Thassa's Intervention, I think? And you just scry for, like, 15 and grab, like, two Nexuses, and then that's pretty much game over.
Is that what you do?
That's what they do. I don't play Nexus. Nexus is,
gotcha.
It's a virus.
So, yeah, okay, interesting.
But the only thing that I could think that could actually, that has kind of addressed this, is the new card Discontinuity. I don't know how to, am I saying that correct?
Discontinuity,
there we go.
Which card is that one? Is that the new...
Six mana, but if it's played on... your opponent's turn, I think it's four mana less, and it stops.
If it's on your turn, it's four mana less.
Okay, so basically, it stops somebody from taking an extra turn. It exiles everything on the stack, and it ends the turn. So that could stop them. They're going to say, "Okay, I'm going to play this Nexus," and you're like, "Nope."
Well, so that's kind of just a counter spell that exiles at the end of the day if you're playing it on their turn.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they'd want to play that more than
they would too around. As well. That would be
yeah. So I think that's actually a good point though. As far as what does stop Nexus is counter spells, and I feel like counter spells are not very prevalent in the format right now.
Yeah, other than I don't know what is the big control deck right now.
You know, the biggest counter spell is all of your sideboard.
Well, Mystical Dispute, of course, everybody plays
Mystical
that.
Mystical Disputes in the sideboard.
Yeah, or main board even for some. You know. I don't know, Lotus Breach or...
Yeah, but, you know, even in the main decks of, like, Control, there's not that many counter spells.
Yeah.
It's not a 8-12 counter spell format.
Yeah. Hard. What would be more unfun to play against? Somebody taking a 20-minute turn with Nexus of Fate or someone playing, like, 30 different counter spells?
Probably the counter spells. That seems...
Okay.
I liked Nexus of Fate. That's my kind of jam.
Okay. So, as far as scoring it on the fetch land scale, where would you put Nexus of Fate and Pioneer?
Definitely tough. I think that it's one of the lower ones on power level of the ones we've talked about today. If it was pure power level, I'd say probably like a 4. I think because of the unfun, the extra shuffling aspect of it, I think maybe puts it more like a 6. And that's still taking in mind the fact that it is legal and historic, so they have a little bit more of a view into how and what people play with it.
Yeah. And how to fix it or how to fight it, and there's still not enough to be able to fight it, to be honest. Another thing that I would say that the format Pioneer needs before Nexus of Fate can be reprinted is more surgical extraction effects. They have a lot of 3 mana effects. I want a 2 mana one with, even if it's like heavy punishment, I just want something at 2 mana that I can like surgically extract a card with. I don't care how big, you know, of a you know, pain that I have to take, how much damage I have to take, whatever. I want that. Field of the Dead, you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a tough one. That wasn't really the deck that I love to play, although it was very cool in the format. But again, that's one that it's legal in Historic, and I think power level is probably one of the lower ones. Like, the problem is when it's good, it's very warping, because it is the absolute top end of the format, unless if there's, you know, end the game combos, which right now there really is. I don't know if that will always be true, though.
I mean,
like, you can't just play a mid-range or a grinder or whatever deck if that's in the format, because it will go over the top completely.
I hear the dog barking. Are the fireworks starting over in your place?
Yep, we got fireworks starting.
Okay, so just for our listeners, so it's the 4th of July Eve, so people are launching fireworks all around, so the dog will be barking probably the rest of the night.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. No, they don't really bark that much. I think it's barking my other dog. I'm going to walk away for a second if you want to talk about Field of Dead, especially in Historic.
Yes, so Field of Dead, I'm going to talk a little bit about Field of the Dead and Pioneer first. One of the reasons why Field of the Dead was so, how can I say, consistent was because of all the ramp cards that Pioneer had. Field of the Dead was usually like in the desert type of deck with a lot of cards from the Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation block. So you were able to use the Hour of Promise to search up two different cards, and they could be deserts, and then you'd have that in play. Plus, you'd have enough cards to pretty much activate Field of the Dead by the time you cast it. So you're getting the triggers from Field of the Dead to give you zombies, and you're getting the triggers from Hour of Promise to give you more zombies. So you could basically not play any other cards except for ramp cards and just take over the game.
Okay, so couple questions, especially about the Historic version. Are they playing Silence of Milichrome?
Now they are, probably. They
Okay, then I want this unbanned, because that sounds great.
But also they're playing Golos. So
yes, yeah, Golos always makes sense.
So you got Golos and you have Simulacrum. I can't say that. It's too difficult.
Solemn Simulacrum.
But pretty soon in Historic, they're going to also be releasing the Amonkhet Masters, which means we'll get more of those deserts back. So I wonder, and maybe we'll get Hour of Promise as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Field of the Dead gets banned eventually.
Yeah, I know it has always been on a watch list for Historic, so understandable why it could get banned. So kind of like we're saying, is that when this card is good, you know, if we didn't talk about it, it's a land, and whenever a land enters the battlefield, if you control seven or more lands with different names, you make an untapped 2/2 black zombie creature token.
Yeah.
And the stacks, you know, if you have four of them out and you put one land in play, you get four 2/2s. It really takes over the game, and all you have to do is play lands and ramp them. So it does it very quickly.
I want something, what was that one red-red sorcery that destroyed non-basic land? What was that called? Molten Rain? Not Molten Rain. Was it Molten Rain?
Yeah, Molten Rain? Stone Rain is two in a red.
Yeah, so Molten Rain, I think it was like one red-red. I want to see more cards like that. I mean, we have so much land destruction at four. We don't have anything at three.
I think that's what they go for now. I think they say that four mana is kind of where you need to be. I could maybe see... even like a Fulminator Mage, I think, would just be probably too good in Pioneer.
What about if you, instead of making it, you know, like, Stone Rain's easy to cast. You can basically, you know, splash for that. But let's say if you make it, like, triple color, triple red, would that be enough of a, how can I say, enough of a disadvantage to make it, you know, only playable in red decks?
Probably, but I don't think Wizards would do for it. You know, nothing's less fun than losing to a land destruction deck repeatedly.
But for non-basic lands only.
Even then.
Okay.
Everyone plays non-basic lands.
Maybe we need, like, Ankh of Mercia back. That was, like, whenever a player plays... I think it was 4 mana. Whenever a player plays a land, it deals 2 damage to them.
No, that was 2 mana. It was good. Mana?
Yeah,
it's 2 damage whenever any player plays a land.
I would love that, please. It just hurts those decks. It hurts those ramp decks. So I want Ankh of Mercia back. I'm going on...
Ooh, maybe put it on a body or something.
Yeah, something like that. I want that effect back in Standard / Pioneer.
Okay.
We haven't seen anything like that in forever. That would totally... would that fix the format problem with all this ramp, you think?
It would. That's not the biggest problems in Pioneer, at least. You know, Standard certainly has problems.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be what makes Pioneer.
No, not for Pioneer. But it'd be a good card to have, right? You know, you're not.
Yeah. Let's get a little bit back on track here. Sorry. So, Field of the Dead in Pioneer, where would you put it as far as could it come off the ban list?
I put it at a 6. Like, I think if
yeah,
we get
I
a little.
That's probably fine. I might put it at a 5 just because I would call it maybe my lowest on the list as far as it probably could be looked at to be off the ban list, especially with the format is where it is right now, where there are healthy or combo decks. There may also be unhealthy combo decks. We'll kind of get into that later, but I do think that if there are combo decks that can just go under it, those are always going to be really bad matchups for a Field of the Dead deck.
I mean, we have, like, the Virulent Plague to give -2/-2 to all tokens, which is really good against it. We have Massacre Worm now, which is pretty good, you know, to play against if you're just wiping their board and killing them with all their, you know, their 2/2 tokens, and that just kills them on the spot. But we just need a little bit more hate. You know, maybe one or two more land destruction spells or one or two more cards like Field of Ruin, I think, and then we can bring it back. We don't have Tech Edge. We don't have Ghost Quarter. So,
yeah, Tech Edge might be doable.
So,
okay.
Smuggler's Copter, last one to talk about?
Yeah, I think that's the last one to talk about. And, you know, when I think we had originally brought up this topic, I was like, oh no, Smuggler's Copter absolutely never coming back because the fact that you could play Smuggler's Copter plus Lurrus sounded insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're discarding cards, so that makes Lurrus better. It's a 2-mana card, so you're bringing it back, et cetera, et cetera. With the companion nerf, I think that really hurt Lurrus decks, particularly, you know, kind of fair ones, I think, the most. And that makes me think maybe there's a potential to look at Smuggler's Copter. It's not a hard no for me. So, as far as why Smuggler's Copter got banned, so it's a great card. It's, you know, 2-mana, it's a vehicle, it has flying, and whenever it attacks, you draw a card and discard a card, and it only crews for 1.
Mm.
So, what got it banned is the fact that it was seeing play in so many decks.
All the aggro decks.
All of the aggro decks were playing it, yes.
So
maybe some exceptions, but for the most part, all of the aggro decks were playing.
So, mono black and mono red, and I'm not sure what else it was seeing.
Green red, I think, was
the big one. Yeah. And those decks were really powerful during the early, you know, months of Pioneer, I think.
They were, especially when you had things like Oath of Nis, or not Oath of Nis, Once Upon a Time alongside them. So my questions would have to be, are there aggro decks that are good enough to not want to play Smuggler's Copter? Because that would be my biggest question on, is it a fair card to maybe see potential again?
I think at this point, with how strong, you know, Inverter is, and Lotus Breach, and even like, what is it, the Heliod decks, those are like the top three in the format now, I think. And, you know, giving mono black
and red, you know, red white.
Red white.
Lurrus?
Yeah, burn, like, you mean? Burn. Is that still viable, burn, even with the nerf?
Oh, yeah, that's done very well.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, even I think Smuggler's Crafter could come back. Almost come back. It's really close. It's on the threshold of coming back.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, Lurrus Burn is so good and that would still use it, I think mono black would absolutely still use it, and that's been doing pretty well.
Has it been doing well now? Like, better now?
Yeah, we'll see what the you know, like I said, we're going to look at the meta probably next week, so we're not 100% yet, but it does look like, you know, it, at the very least, at the end of Ikoria, it had certainly come back.
Like, you know, I think Spirits wouldn't use it, probably. They'll continue. I mean, I guess if you're playing the straight blue-white version, maybe you'd use Smuggler's Copter, but if you're playing the green version with Collected Company, I don't think you would.
Yeah, blue-white definitely would play it. I don't think green would. So that's kind of where we're saying is you need to have, I think, maybe one or two more cards like Collected Company or Powerful Lords where they're strong enough that you would not want to play Smuggler's Copter in those decks. And I think the other thing, we do need a little bit more balancing of removal still. I think that white right now doesn't have any way to answer Smuggler's Copter, and that just makes it too good against them.
Yeah.
You know, they can do it in, like, at 3 mana, or they can do it like after they've hit you with it, and none of those feel great.
Yeah.
They don't have something like a push or a lightning strike.
And we don't want to use Angelic Concession on it. We don't want to give them a 4/4 and replace for 3/3. So, yeah, and I think this would also really help out the blue red scissors deck. Dang, I can't remember the name.
In Soul Artifact.
Yeah, that was one of the insane plays of that card. You play this on turn two, and then it becomes like a 5/5 flyer that lets you loot. So, pretty insane. We haven't seen a lot of Fatal Push recently either, so I wouldn't mind seeing.
I mean, the black decks are still running a 4 of Fatal Push. Yeah. Like, that hasn't changed. You know, the top deck in the format's still playing 4 Fatal Push and some number of Eliminate.
Yeah.
So.
So number from 1 to 10, where do you put Smuggler's Copter?
If I'm numbering it, so as far as what we're saying, the Fetchland scale?
Yeah, as far as unbanning.
I'll probably say a 6. I think that there's a world where it happens. I think that it would need to be different from where we are now, and I think that it would need to be, you know, pretty specific format changes. You know, we'd need to see some other very powerful cards that don't synergize with Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah,
for aggro decks.
I want to say 5. Just, I'm a little bit more leaning towards the unbanning than you are.
Okay, so you're controlling unbans in this next ban list. Are you taking any of these off right now?
I would, like I said, if I could ban Saheeli, I would bring Felidar Guardian back.
Okay,
just fair. To switch things up a little bit. So, like, it'd be fun to reset things. And
yeah, I wanted that in the first place.
Maybe Smuggler's Copter.
Yeah, I feel like the one I would be willing to try is probably Field of the Dead, but I think probably I would leave them all on the ban list at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it's later in the format, you know, this M21 format, and we've not seen anything shake up.
I think we're definitely in a better position now as far as, like, having a few more answers, a few more ways to interact with these cards, but we're not at, like, the critical mass where, like you said, there's no white card that deals with Smuggler's Copter, so we're, like, 80% there. We talked about a couple cards from M21, like Eliminate, Discontinuity, Angelic Ascension. Are there any other cards you think that kind of helped, you know, make these cards a little bit less powerful?
You know, looking at them, I didn't see anything that stood out. I mean, Containment Priest doesn't really stop any of these, I don't think.
Felidar Guardian, right? If it gets blinked.
That's true. Yeah, that would stop Felidar. Well, no, so those are tokens, usually.
Oh, okay. It's non-token creature. Darn.
Yeah, non-token creature.
Except if you play it after they blink the first one, and then when that comes back into play, it's
exiled.
Yeah. What about Spark Hunter for Planeswalkers, or Spark Hunter Mastercore?
You know, that's worth considering. I haven't seen that card see play yet. I've been trying to force it maybe a little bit, but even then, I don't think that, like, I mean, what are you looking at? Like, oh, Oath of Nissa might be okay, or Oko might be okay because Spark Hunter's around. I don't know if I see that.
Okay. I think there's one more thing we were talking about earlier that you wanted to talk about before we end the show, and that was what stuff should be banned. And you kind of wanted to protect your baby, Black Blue Inverter. So I think...
Oh, Black Inverter's not my baby, I don't think.
So you were going to protect it,
if I got a
it,
baby,
though, right?
It's Kethis.
Okay. But basically, if we were going to ban any cards, like the two most powerful decks, Inverter, Blue-Black Inverter, and Underworld Breach, probably... those would be my choices for cards to ban. But do they need to be banned? What do you think?
I think yes. You know, like, I'm not usually one that leans towards bans because I love to find just like, oh, this will be a fun way to hate something instead. And I just don't feel like there are options for a player like me to be able to hate the Blue-Black Inverter deck. You know, like, if you want to beat the deck, there are some ways, and most of the ways are, we already know, you know, it's play aggro, turn creatures sideways right away.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, you know, maybe the Heliod combo and have, like, the right couple of hate cards, which are very limited. They're things like Gideon, and that has now gotten worse. I think that the deck probably could be fair as far as win rate wise and total play in the format wise. I do think that it isn't quite fair because there aren't enough ways right now to stop them from doing their combo, from stop them from doing what they want to do. There's just very few things that interact with an empty library plus Thassa's Oracle or Jace.
Yeah, so it's not something that needs to stay banned. But it's something that it needs to be banned, I think, in order for the format to develop more until, like, we get good enough cards and have enough ways to be able to fairly interact with it.
Yeah, I think don't do it this week. Give it another week or two. See how much M21 has an effect. So far for me, I think the biggest effect of M21 is adding Eliminate to that deck has been very good. But... if it still it remains unreasonable, if nothing changes, if we don't find another good way to hate it, I think that I would like to see some kind of change. And I think that I would be okay with seeing just that deck hated out. You know, you talk about Lotus Breach as being the next best pure combo deck, but it's so much more possible to put different, you know, you can put Damping Sphere into any deck and make it viable to fight against.
And Damping Sphere is really good. Like, they have cards to bounce it or whatever, but like, if you're playing three Damping Spheres in your deck, it's a good way to stop Underworld Breach. Whereas, like, there's nothing, there's not a card that really does that with Inverter.
Yeah, so it's not limiting your deck building creativity to be able to stop Lotus Breach.
Yeah.
And I think that it is that way for Inverter. And if you get Inverter out of there, you can put more sideboard cards in, or even main deck cards that will hate that matchup specifically. So
just ban Inverter. Maybe people can...
Just Inverter.
People could still maybe try to make like a mill deck with it.
We've joked about that a couple times.
I mean, they have
And as far as how to do it, you know, people have said like, oh, ban Thassa's Oracle, ban Dig. Like, no, just ban Inverter, nothing else. I think that's the most reasonable.
It's still a fun idea. It's a cool way to win. You know, it'd just be more of a mono blue, you know, type of win condition, you know, with, you know, just scry a bunch and win that way.
Yeah.
But all right, was there anything else you wanted to talk about? I think we covered everything I wanted to talk about for bans.
No, yeah, that's about all for me. You know, you got the rare instance of me being like, yeah, ban it. But
I've changed
I mean, I think we've talked plenty. I've been rambling for almost an hour now, so I'm happy to wrap us up for our episode. So guys, tell us what you think. Tell us what you think could be unbanned, banned, whatever kind of wild other crazy suggestions you have. You know, maybe the companion rule changes, but only for Kahira?
Mm-hmm.
What is the cat one? All right, don't give me that suggestion. You can reach out to me, though, at Twitter. I am at MTG Pioneer, the one and only. You can also find our Discord through links there. You can find our Reddit page. You can find the Discord associated with our Reddit page. I'm sure there's other fun ways to find us. Plus, wherever you want to find your podcast, we have listings there for iTunes, for Podbean, etc.
Yes. And, of course, if you guys want to contact me, again, you can also find me in the Discord channel, you know, just at me. Or you can find me on Twitter at YoSchwenky, YoSchwenky. Looking forward to hearing from you, and thanks again for exploring the format with us.
All right, that will wrap up another episode of The First Pioneers. We are your go-to source for Pioneer information online.